When they buried him in that tomb, it was with power that he rose again on the third day. Amen. And that's what we're celebrating today, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, we're glad to have you this morning and pray that the Lord will bless you. Of course, happy Easter to everybody, and I hope everybody has a great day as we celebrate. As I was growing up, I didn't even know what Easter was about. I thought Easter was the Easter Bunny. And I thought it was all about the chocolate bunny and the chickens and the eggs and all that nonsense. And I didn't even know, honestly, I'm telling the truth, till when I was 16 years old, I saw a recreation of the crucifixion. And they had a Roman soldier standing there, and they had a reporter dressed up in a suit interviewing the Roman soldier. And I was so ignorant of biblical things and spiritual things, I thought it was real. I thought it just happened. I said, did this just happen? That they crucified this man on the cross called Jesus? And it struck me, and it had a profound effect upon my life, because I didn't know that it was a historical event, because all I ever knew about was the Easter Bunny. You say, what's that tell you, parents? Tell your kids about Jesus Christ, not just the Easter Bunny. Amen? Amen. But you know, when I was 17... December 15th, 1979, when I asked Christ to be my Savior, it was so real. And the living Son of God had come into my heart. Amen. And thank God for Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And as we celebrate that today, we've got a few things to make mention of this morning. And, of course, the first thing is the financial reports are on the back table. If you want one, pick one up on the way out the door. Glad for you to have it. Faith Promise Thermometer, our missions is at $57,200, and 7,000 souls saved so far since we're recording it. And this year is half what it was last year because of COVID. But you know what? I believe there were probably more than double saved. You know why? Because the gospel is going out all over the airways, and we don't have any way of knowing how many people have been saved as a direct result of the gospel going out. So praise the Lord for that. All right, and then we do want to remember to pray for the sick, the shut-in, and the sinful, as we always pray for. Pray for Brother Gene. He's back in the hospital. His blood counts were all over the place, and so he's still in the hospital. They're trying to stabilize his blood so that he can have that bypass heart surgery. They're looking at quadruple bypass, and so it's going to be a major heart surgery that he's supposed to have on the April 14th. We're praying for him, and we're just praying for God's peace and grace. He's not in any pain. He feels good, but his numbers are horrible as far as his blood count. And so if you just remember to pray for him, we'd sure appreciate that. Pray for Brother Dale. He's going in for lipotripsy. What day you say you're going in, Brother Dale? Tomorrow. And so they're going to bust up them kidney stones. And you know, that's some people are resilient. Some people don't have any pain with these things. Some people do. And the lipotrips usually bruises your kidneys. And you know, it's a rough thing because they're banging on with, you know, and they're just trying to break that stuff apart. So if you'll pray for him, we should appreciate that. And then continue to pray for our other folks that are going through things, our shut-ins, people that are having some unspoken, having some problems, and that the Lord will continue to be with them. For those that have cancers and those that have the different things going on, those that have lost loved ones, it's been a painful year as far as things that people have had to go through. And so let's just continue to pray. Our COVID numbers are going down. Our numbers are going in the right direction. And hopefully, as people get vaccinated, we'll be able to get back to completely normal. Lord willing, next year, if there's a next year, if Jesus doesn't come first, or if the whole society doesn't collapse, who knows what could happen? Nobody can tell the future, right? But we'll be back to completely normal, having the choir and all those kind of things. We're not far from getting things going back, okay? We did have our first King's Kids on Thursday night, and it's a slow start. We're expecting that. But we are moving in the right direction. As Sunday school, we've got a phased restart on the Sunday school. We have one more week with what we did this week. And then the following week after that, we're gonna add a class. It'll be a combined class, and we'll do that for another 3 weeks. We'll add another class for another 3 weeks, and our intent is by the end of May to have all of our Sunday school classes back. So we are praying for that, and hopefully somewhere along the way we'll have our choir back. I'm looking forward to having a choir back. How many of you want to have a choir back? Amen. It's nice to have a choir. And so we're working on all those things. And I know even with the, not everybody wants to have their face to be seen on the internet, and I understand that. So what we're going to do, we're going to focus it right here on the pulpit so that people don't have to be seen in the choir when they're singing. And I understand that. Not everybody wants to be seen in the lights. So anyway, we are working on all the details and getting things started back, but I'm excited about it. Lord willing, this will be our last cold night. I know we got to go through blackberry winter. I was looking at my dogwood tree, and I saw that it had bloomed, and that's what this week was all about, dogwood winter. And so I said, the blackberries will be right behind it, and we'll have a blackberry winter, but then spring will be here. And we're supposed to be in the 70s all next week. Thank God. I'm looking forward to that. And so let's just continue to move forward, and hopefully our country can move forward. That'd be a blessing. All right, tonight's service at 6:30, Wednesday night service at 7 p.m., Bible study and prayer. No King's Kids this next week, but then after that, we'll be going straight through with it. All right, I don't think I have anything else that we need to make mention of, but thank God for his blessings. I do want to read this poem that if you look in your bulletin, Miss Linda puts these things in here from time to time. So let me go ahead and read it. If you want to look at it, you can. It says, Jesus was betrayed, shamefully treated, beaten and crucified, love was defeated. His tortured body, now lifeless and cold, as so long ago by the prophets foretold. God's only Son, with eyes full of love, blameless, innocent, meek as a dove. Among the rich they made his grave, a heavy stone sealed off the cave. Friends and disciples all grieving at home, sacred silence and death were alone. A sudden bright flash, a blinding light, Almighty God showing his might. Jesus opened his eyes and looks at his hands, briefly confused, then he understands. Everything he suffered, it was worthwhile. Jesus smiles the most radiant smile. He overcame death by a selfless sacrifice. God raised him up. He is forever alive. Sin was defeated like God had decreed. Today love triumphed indeed. Amen. Brother Doug, let's have another song.
Number 84, you don't have to stand. Sin was defeated, Jesus rose again, and he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Number 84, as we sing all three verses, 84. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing.
Coming again.
At this time, Brother Butch is going to be singing for us.
Take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Job, the book of Job, chapter number 19. You say, well, that's a weird place to take a text from on Resurrection Sunday. Well, not really, because Job believed in Jesus Christ. He didn't know his name, but he believed in him. And Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, amen, and he believed in the Redeemer. You know, the world was shocked when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, amen. And the world's going to be shocked when the rapture takes place, hallelujah. When the child of God is called up, we call it the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. The trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, amen. And the world's going to be shocked. shocked. But you know what? In the revelation, the world's really going to be shocked when Jesus Christ comes to judge this world. And they're going to know on that day that he's the living Savior. Amen. They're going to know on that day that our Redeemer lives. Amen. It's not if he's coming back, it's when he's coming back. If you found Job 19, say amen and I'll know you're there. Job 19, look what it says in verse number 1. Just to give us context here, Job's been, oppressed by the devil. The devil has taken away everything that he has, his family, his livelihood. And now Job has been stricken with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And if that wasn't bad enough, his friends who came to comfort him have done nothing but criticize him. And Job comes to the point where he makes this statement. Notice what he says in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me, and ye are not ashamed that you make yourself strained to me? And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. And if indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know that God hath overthrown me and hath passed me with his net. Compass me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and my hope hath removed like a tree." Now look over to verse number 19. We're going to skip a few verses here for time's sake. Verse 19, and it says, "And my inward friends abhor me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Little did Job know. Little did he know that 4,000 years later, we'd still be reading his words. The Bible says, "Yea, let God be true and every man a liar." They are graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." You see, Job knew something that most people don't know. And he said so in verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." You know, I can say as Job, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Yes. Hallelujah. I know that Jesus Christ is alive. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word as we bring the message this morning. And as Job so aptly said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And God, these words were penned down over 4,000 years ago. And God, he prophesied and said that these words would last forever. And God, they will last forever. And the phrase that he said, "I know my Redeemer liveth." God, he knew that you were alive. He knew that one day he would be raised from the dead. He knew that one day in his new body, without corruption, that he would see you face to face. God, we long for the day when that trumpet's going to sound. And Lord, the graves are going to open and the child of God is going to be called up to heaven. And we're going to be transformed to be with the living Savior. God, you're alive. And I pray, God, in everyone's heart this morning, God, that they would know that you're alive. And God, that the Holy Spirit of God would bring conviction where it's necessary. And if there's one lost, undone in their sins, may their heart be convicted. And may they know what Job knew so long ago, that my Redeemer liveth. Bless the word and help me to bring it with power. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning as I preach on this thought, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Today is April 4th, 2021. We never thought we'd be here. We thought we'd be in heaven long time ago. But it's Resurrection Sunday, and thank God that it is. But long ago in 2200 BC, Job penned down these words. It was over 4,000 years ago. And Job was a man that knew that his Redeemer lived. Now think about that for a minute. He knew that. And all he had was his walk with God, his daily worship, am the witness in the heavens, in the stars. Now you think about what he had and what he believed. That's an amazing thing. Because we have so much more, and I'm going to preach on that this morning. But, you know, you think about the walk that Job had. We say, you know, granted, he walked with the Lord a long time. We know at least 175 years, because that's how long he lived after he had been through this ordeal. And we know that during that period of time, men could live up to be 900 years of age. We know it was going down after the flood of Noah, but it was roughly 200 years before Abraham. And if you read the genealogies there, you know that that was a possibility that men could live up to 900 years of age during that period. And during that period, he knew that his Redeemer lived. And he was looking for him. Amen. And it was his walking with God and his daily personal experience that convinced him that his Redeemer lived. And if you read the whole chapter, the whole book of Job, when God shows up in chapter 38, Job has no problem recognizing God. Matter of fact, in the last chapter of the book, as God is speaking to Job, this is Job's answer. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered what I understood not, things too wonderful which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, declare unto me. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Hey, God is speaking person to person to Job, and Job knows who he is because of the walk that he's had with God. You know, I tell people that, hey, I know who God is. They say, how do you know? Because I walk with him every day. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. Remember Joy Behart? She said, if God talks to you, you're insane. No, if God talks to you, you're spirit-filled. You're probably born again. You're probably a saved child of God on your way to heaven. We can't say so much for Joy Behart, because she's not a believer in Jesus Christ. This lost world doesn't believe. But they're going to be a believer one day when they end up in the lake of fire, when their soul ends up in hell. They will believe then. But Job knew God because he had a walk with God. We live in a day when so few people have a walk with God. He knew God because he had worshiped God for a long time. If you look with me in Job chapter number 1, you know what Job's custom was? Job's custom was to worship God on a daily basis. I believe we ought to worship God. Hey, and God's seeking for people to worship him. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what Job did. Job was an honest man. Job 1 verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500, and tells all that he had. And skip on down there, and it says, and so it was when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. You see what he do? He worshiped God continually. He offered sacrifices to God continually. He prayed to God continually. Now, if a man has a walk with God, obviously there's going to be some worshiping of God in there also. Amen. You say, what else did Job have? The only thing else he had was the witness in the stars. You say, what is that? That's the constellations. If you've ever studied the constellations, you don't believe the lie of the zodiac. Amen. The horoscope and all that nonsense. God placed the stars in a perfect sequence for a perfect reason. And that was to tell the story of God from the beginning of time to the end of time. And that's what the constellations are all about. Psalms 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber rejoiced a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit to the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. You see, the constellations tell the story. It gives everything that there is to know. And Job was one of those men from the east. You know, when Jesus Christ was born, those wise men from the east, they had saw his star and they followed it all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to find. He said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And the stars had showed him that. That's why the Bible says that the lost world is without excuse. Romans 1, God's written it in the stars. The constellations tell the story of creation. Virgo was all about the virgin birth. Christ's birth, the death, the resurrection, the second coming. And the devil's perverted it. But the truth is in the stars. And Job knew that God was real. And he knew that his Redeemer lived. He knew that he lived. How much more you and I? You say, why? Because we have something that Job didn't have. I'm going to preach on three things that we have that Job didn't have. Thank God we can have a walk with God. We can have worship. And we have the story written in the stars. You can get a book called It's Written in the Stars. We'll describe what every constellation, how it shows from the beginning of time to the end of time. We have knowledge that they didn't have. But we have some witnesses that they didn't have. And the first witness that they didn't have was the witness of the Holy Written Word. Do you realize, though we hold Job's words in our hands, he had nothing? See, we have the Word of God. You say, what is it? It's a witness. Do you know why this book is banned all over the world? Because it's such a powerful witness. Christianity has never banned the Quran because the Quran is a meaningless dead book. Christianity has never banned the Bhagavad Gita, which is the book that the Hindu use and the Buddhists use. We've never banned those books. Matter of fact, Christianity doesn't ban books. Why? Because we have the book that's above every book. Amen. And this book is a witness. Islam is afraid of the witnesses. Islam is afraid of the truth of God's Word. Communism is afraid of the truth of God's Word. Can I tell you the witness and the power of God's Word? Hinduism is afraid of the witness of the power of God's Word. We have the Holy Written Word this morning that is a witness. If you look with me in 1 Corinthians 15 in Sunday school, Brother Dale did a great job this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, and he talked about those witnesses. You know, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, thank God we have some witnesses this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand, but by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to what? The Scriptures." Job didn't have any Scriptures. The Old Testament saints didn't. Hey, the only Scripture. Job was prior to the law of Moses. He didn't have any Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. And after that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. He was seen of Peter, James, and John, witnesses. He was seen of Luke and Mark and Mary and Stephen and Paul. People that came from all walks of life. Rich, poor, educated, uneducated, aristocrats, and working class. I'm glad I don't need a sign this morning. People say, I need a sign. I don't need a sign. You say, well, I want a miracle. I don't need a miracle. Well, I want an epiphany. I don't need an epiphany. I have the scriptures. I have the scriptures. You know what Peter called it? Peter described it as this. He said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter was an eyewitness. He was there. He saw the risen Savior. For we received from God the Father an honor and glory when he came, such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We got a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word. See, Job didn't have the Bible to hold in his hand. He didn't have the record that had been recorded. He didn't have the historical facts that we have today. You see, we got a witness. And that's why people are afraid of this Bible. You want to make people nervous? Get out a Bible. I've seen people get scared when they see a gun. But can I tell you, they get more scared when they see the gospel gun. They are mortified and terrified and horrified to see someone carrying a Bible around. You say, why? Because it's the truth of God's word that reveals every secret. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Well, so do I, because I got a more sure word of prophecy. It was Stephen that said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. He said, the Son of Man. I understand that he's speaking of Jesus. It was Paul on the Damascus road that heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. You see, we got a witness. We got a witness that our Redeemer lives. Job didn't have that, but we do. Thank God, the written word says, my Redeemer liveth. Will you look with me in Matthew 28 this morning? Matthew chapter number 28. Thank God for the record that was given. And Matthew 28 and verse 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and another Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. And lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and they run to bring his disciples word. You see, we have witnesses. Thank God for the witnesses. If you read verse number 16, and it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You say, how in the world has this lasted for 2,000 years? Because my Redeemer lives. Because he's alive. And 500 people testified of Christ, of seeing their Redeemer living at once. You know, even the Roman soldiers who were unbelievers testified. They testified. Verse 11 says, and when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed on the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled, the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. Remember when Jesus said, if one rose from the dead, they still wouldn't believe? Those soldiers were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they still wouldn't believe. Hell is going to be full of people who just would not believe. If God came down and stood next to you, some people wouldn't believe. What did Jesus say to that man, rich man in hell? If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you're not persuaded from the Word of God, nothing's going to persuade you. Can I tell you, when I read that gospel tract and it told of what Jesus Christ had done for me, I trembled on the inside. And I was persuaded that my Redeemer lives. The Word of God is a powerful witness. That's why we're told to preach the Word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not convinced by the Word of God, you're probably not going to be convinced. We have a witness, the Holy Written Word of God. Can I tell you, we have a witness, it's called the Holy Ghost. You say, did Job have the Holy Ghost? Job did not have the Holy Ghost. But see, we have the Holy Ghost. We have the witness of the Holy Ghost that came down on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ showed himself alive for 40 days. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down like a mighty rushing wind and sat upon the heads of the 12 apostles, likened unto cloven tongues of fire. And the Holy Ghost remains to this day. If you look with me in the book of Romans chapter number 8, the Bible describes the work of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved here today, you have the Holy Ghost. If you're not saved, you're thinking, what is the Holy Ghost? It's hard to describe something you don't have. Romans chapter number 8, if you'll look what it says. Romans 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him that is subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, we're talking about creation, we're talking about nature, the animals and all the other things, it says, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Hey, my Redeemer liveth. Thank God, the Holy Ghost lives inside of me, and I'm getting a new body one day. And the Holy Ghost has borne witness to it. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Hallelujah. One day we're getting a new body. And the Holy Ghost bears witness to it. The Holy Ghost is the witness today that's true. There's not much in this world that's true today. And we know that all men are liars. And we see that played out every day. But there's one that cannot lie, and that's God. John 5, 1 John 5, the Bible says in verse number 6, 1 John 5, 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Hey, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave in us, eternal life, and the life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he hath not the Son of God, hath not life. These things have I written unto you which believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we ask of, that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, I have confidence this morning because the Holy Ghost bears witness to the truth. It bears witness to the fact that I've been born again. And see, I know that I've been born again. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know that this morning? You know God's real. You feel his presence. You know he's inside of you. The Holy Spirit that guides men and women into all truth, that convicts sinners that Christ is real and that our Redeemer liveth. Normally our choir would sing some resurrection songs. And we'd sing that resurrection melody, alive, alive, alive forevermore. Jesus is alive forevermore. Amen. Nothing makes the world and sinners tremble more than hearing that Jesus Christ is alive. They're terrified of the risen Savior. Why is it that the world is so terrified of the risen Savior? I'll tell you why. Because they know one day they're going to stand before him. Yes. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For it's the whole duty of a man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You see, down in our hearts, which I'm going to get to in a minute, we all know that we have an appointment with God. Everyone believes that in one way or another. And we all have an appointment with God. But not everybody's appointment is going to be the same. Because some are going to stand in judgment of their eternal soul. You say, what about the child of God? My judgment was at the cross. And Jesus Christ bore it for me. And my Redeemer liveth. But if you don't have the Redeemer that liveth, then you will stand before him in judgment of your own soul. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. People are scared to death of God's judgment. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of things written in the books according to their works. People say, I'm a good person. We'll see. I assure you, you're not as good as you think you are. And it says, and I saw the dead and small stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When I was lost, the Holy Ghost said, you're going to stand in judgment. And I trembled. And I said, God, I don't want to stand in judgment. God, I don't want to die for my sins. God, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to stand in judgment of you one day. And I didn't even know the Bible said that. But the Holy Ghost was telling me, you're going straight to hell. The scriptures that I read, how to get to heaven from your house, was telling me, you're going straight to hell. And God opened my eyes and He opened my heart, and the witnesses began to witness, and I cried out to Almighty God and asked Him to be my Savior. And it was the greatest day of my life. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. With a limited knowledge he had. I know my Redeemer liveth because of the Scriptures. Because of the witness of the Holy Ghost. And because of the witness of my own heart. You see, when you get born again, your heart witnesses to you. Amen. You know, there's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Hey, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. The witness of the heart. Can I tell you, that's a powerful witness. You understand a clean heart is a powerful witness? In Psalms 51, after David had sinned the horrible sin of adultery and murder, you say, can God forgive an adulterer and a murderer? Thank God that He can. You say, those are terrible sins. Sure they are. But can I tell you, the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You know, we have a way of categorizing sin and say some sins are worse than others. Can I tell you, all sin is an abomination in the eyes of God? And David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sinned, and my mother conceived me. Behold, thy desires truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities, and create a clean in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Can I tell you, there is nothing like a clean heart. I know my Redeemer lives this morning. I got a clean heart. Thank God. You say, why? Because that's where Jesus lives. And you don't live in no dirty place. My Redeemer lives. Thank God. And it's a great witness. Filthiness, wickedness, depravity, thank God it's all been washed away. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Peter said this, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, and see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorrupt by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Do you see how the word and the Holy Ghost and the heart all witness together? The power of a clean heart, of being born again. I tell people, when did you ever get born again? Being Baptist ain't being born again. Being religious isn't being born again. Amen. Holding some title is not being born again. When, for God's sake, was your life ever transformed? You see, a clean heart produces a changed heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When did God make everything new for you? You see, I have a clean heart. I got born again. Got washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm clean this morning. Though I'm a filthy, rotten, dirty sinner deserving of going to hell, God cleansed me. And He changed me. That's what being born again is. Can you understand that this morning? And can I tell you, if that's not in your soul and your heart this morning, then you have never been born again. And you're like those soldiers who witnessed the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and refused to believe it. You can see it and not believe it. Because they saw it and wouldn't believe it. Oh, the witness of the Word of God. The witness of the Holy Ghost. The witness of our heart, a clean heart, a changed heart. The world will never be able to explain the new birth and the power that it has upon people's lives. The Jews, Paul confounded the Jews. The Apostle Paul confounded the Jews. They could not believe that this was Saul of Tarsus, the man that persecuted Christians, the man that wasted the church, the man that killed men, women, and children, was now preaching Christ. They said, "What in the world has happened?" If you've ever been born again, people are saying the same thing about you. My friends said, "What in the world has happened to Chris Paponis? We cannot believe that this is the guy who used to curse God, curse the church, curse Christians, said it was all a lie, and now he's the first one in church and sitting on the front row. What has happened to him?" My dad said they brainwashed him. He said, "All I can say is you've been brainwashed." I said, "Dad, no. I have been heart cleansed by the Holy Ghost." And why is it you can't understand that? Hey, when you're cleansed, you're changed. And what you hated, you now love. That's hard to explain sometimes, isn't it? The witness of the heart, a clean heart, a changed heart, a challenged heart. Christ challenges me every day to walk with Him and to be a witness. He challenges me. He challenged the disciples. In Mark chapter number 16, He challenged them. He challenged them in Matthew 28. He challenged them. He said, and He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He challenges me to share my faith. He challenges me to tell people that my Redeemer liveth. He challenged me to tell them how they can be born again. He compels me to share my faith in Jesus Christ. You ever notice, if you're a saved child of God, you get around something and something is bubbling up inside of you that makes you want to tell someone around you that they need to be saved? Amen. That's the Holy Ghost bubbling up inside of you. Why? Because our Redeemer lives. He lives. Amen. And it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall not, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Go ye in all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Observing all those things that have been commanded. Hey, what's the ideal? He challenges my heart and compels me to be a witness. Does your Redeemer live? Mine does. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at that latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to seal my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living. Just because he lives, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that I've been born again. And I know that I'm going to heaven. And I know the trumpet's going to sound. And I'm going to see him in my flesh. Do you know that this morning? I hope you do. Because that's why Easter is a celebration. It's a celebration. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand for prayer. I hope you can celebrate and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let's bow our head for prayer. I'm going to pray this morning. If you don't know that your Redeemer lives, you don't know that you've been born again, you don't know that your life's been changed, you don't know the risen Savior, today would be one of the greatest days in the world to make that thing certain. To know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again the third day, and that he now lives inside of you. You say, what is that? That's salvation. That's forgiveness of sins. But to have forgiveness of sins, you have to realize your need for forgiveness of sins. And you have to want it. You know why I got saved when I was 17 years old, sitting in my car? Because I wanted to be cleansed. I wanted to be forgiven, and I wanted to go to heaven. And God gloriously saved my soul and transformed my life. If you don't know Christ, my prayer is that you'll want to know him. I'm going to pray. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you. The altar is going to be open. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would convict hearts. And God, if there's one that's lost, undone in their sin, God, that they'd understand that the Redeemer lives. And God, you're coming to judge this world one day in fire. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you're coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray if there's one that's lost, that today would be a day when their life would be changed forever. For those who do know God, God, will we rejoice and celebrate, Lord God, the fact that you have risen from the dead and you're alive, alive forevermore. And God, that you're compelling us and calling us to share our faith. Bless the word. Do with it what you will. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed. Brother Doug's going to sing this morning. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, the altar's open.